One of the wonderful things for people who are simple like me and need all the instruction I can get is that the scriptures give us remarkable descriptions, as we've just read in Zacharias' prophecy in Luke chapter 1, but also we just have it pictured for us. And I like pictures. And the picture I'd like us to look at just briefly this morning is the healing of blind Bartimaeus. Luke doesn't give us his name, but I'll just read the passage quickly in Luke chapter 18, verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on thee. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. We read there in Luke chapter 1, verse 79, to them that sit in darkness, a light comes to those that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, blind Bartimaeus. And every time we read these miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are particularly chosen out of multitudes of miracles to give us pictures of how God saves his people. The blind Bartimaeus is the son of Timaeus. There he is, this man. You can picture him. We saw plenty of them in India. There he is. He's helpless, isn't he? And he's in darkness. Every step he ever took was a potential danger. One of the things that was amazing in India, in the villages, they used to have these huge wells, and they'd be 4 and 5 and 6 metres across and 30 metres deep, some of them. And they didn't put fences around them. So when you were walking in the evening in India around the villages, you were very, very careful about where you trod. But if you were a blind man, every step you ever took was potentially a danger. And of course, blind Bartimaeus is in Jericho. It's a city that was cursed. You might recall that it was cursed by Joshua in Joshua chapter 6. And that curse was fulfilled, that if you ever build this city again, your son will die. You can read that story in 1 Kings chapter 16. Jericho was the city, of course, that Rahab was from. But not only was Bartimaeus blind in darkness and he was in a cursed place, he'd had 3 years and he'd heard about the Messiah. And he'd had 3 years where he'd heard about Messiah healing blind people. Three times in the book of Isaiah, it talks about the Messiah having this particular miracle which is his. And it's a particular miracle of his salvation, isn't it? But he opens the eyes of the blind. You can read it in Isaiah 35. He shall up, and then shall the eyes of the blind be opened. And he is given as a covenant to the people, a covenant that Zacharias was talking about, a covenant for the people to open the eyes of the blind, to set the prisoners free. Bartimaeus had a particular interest in a Messiah. If you're not blind, receiving your sight and having sight is something you take for granted, isn't it? Bartimaeus didn't take blindness for granted. Not in that day, in that world. He would have been continually the jibe of those who would, like the blind man in John chapter 9, you know, who sinned? Did he sin? Is he blind because he sinned, or is he blind because his parents sinned? For Bartimaeus, a Messiah is a very big deal. A Messiah coming is a very, very big deal. But Bartimaeus also, not only was he blind and in that cursed place, he'd had 3 years or more where he would have heard these stories about the Messiah who healed the blind and healed all that came to him. And Jericho is not very far from Jerusalem. And for 3.5 years, no one took him to the Messiah. Bartimaeus set himself in Jericho on that road that if the Messiah ever came by, he was going to be there. And I'm sure he was determined in his mind if the Messiah ever comes by, he's never going to hear the end of it. He'll never hear the end of it from me. Bartimaeus, of course, is a picture of salvation. Not only is Bartimaeus a picture of salvation, but he's a picture of sanctification. Salvation and sanctification are all intimately linked together in the scriptures, brothers and sisters. The same God that saves you is the same God that sanctifies you. The God that delivers you is the God that keeps you. The God who was faithful to you in bringing himself and revealing himself to you in salvation and taking away your sins is the same God that comes back and reveals himself again and again. Which is why we need to hear him and we need to see him. We need to see something of his glory again and again. Bartimaeus was blind. Bartimaeus was in danger. Bartimaeus was in a cursed place. And Bartimaeus was a beggar. He was humbled by the providence of God. He was seeking food for his body. But he heard about the Messiah. See, when God Almighty comes and visits chosen sinners, he puts a cry into their hearts. When he heard that the Lord was coming by, he asked what it meant, verse 36. What is all this? There he is begging. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried out to the only one in all of history and the only one in all of scriptures that can do anything to help him. You cry out to the God of salvation. It's a cry that God has put in your heart by the revelation. Bartimaeus was operating on the basis of the light that he was given. I love what Ralph Barnard said. If you walk in the light that the Lord gives you, it will give you more light. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. You see what he says? He says, Jesus, thou son of David. See, he acknowledged that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Messiah, was the son of David. In Matthew's account, he says, O Lord, thou son of David. And what's he crying for? He's crying for mercy. Mercy. Have mercy on me. You've shown mercy to others. I've heard of your mercy. I've heard of the blind being healed. I've heard of the dead being raised. I've heard of you bringing life where there was no life. Bringing light where there was no light. Bringing salvation. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. I've heard of your mercy to others. Have mercy on me. What is your prayer to God? My constant one is, Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Salvation, from man's perspective, begins so often with a cry, And sometimes we think that we've grown beyond that, don't we? That's for people who are beginning. Well, my friend Jeremiah was set apart from his mother's womb. My friend Jeremiah, our brother Jeremiah, lived in Jerusalem as almost the only one of God's witnesses in that city that was under the curse of God and falling apart. And Jeremiah had seen and heard remarkable things from the very mouth of God himself. But by the 17th chapter of Jeremiah, if you go and read his history, he has seen so much and he's witnessed so much. But in Jeremiah 17:14, there's a wonderful verse. This is an old prophet of God. He says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise." For those who have the God of the Scriptures, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ as their God, they'll be calling out, "Heal me, Lord. Heal me. I can't heal myself, but if you heal me, I'll be healed. Save me and I shall be saved." We don't ever, brothers and sisters, grow beyond being needy, helpless beggars. We don't go beyond it. But listen to what the Lord does in response to that cry. The Lord stood still. Remarkable, isn't it, to think who we're talking about here? We're talking about the God of this universe, the God who upholds things, all things, by the word of his power, the God who can call on light and say a word and a universe comes into existence. That God stood still, and Jesus stood. He stands still. And he hears the cry of his people. And don't forget, Bartimaeus' cry was a cry that came from a deep need, but also it came in the face of those who were telling, "Don't be so embarrassing. Don't be so embarrassing." Verse 39, "And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace." And what did he do in response to this religious world around him and to his own flesh? And to those who were embarrassed by him, just cried them all. You see, he was needy. He was needy. See, a cry for mercy. A cry from the heart for mercy stops Almighty God in his tracks. And not only that, but it brings a command from the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Verse 40, he says, "Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him." We've just already been looking at John the Baptist, and it wasn't it? And Andrew, what did he do? They said, "Come and see the Lord Jesus." And he brought his brother to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord could have easily gone over, couldn't he? He could have, as he did with Lazarus, he could have said a word and Lazarus came immediately out of the grave. But he commands him to be brought. There is always, in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a place for men. He commands him to be brought. He probably commands him to be brought by those who were rebuking him. "Bring him to me. Call him." So cry for mercy causes our God to stop. A cry for mercy causes our God to speak words of command and promise. It's such a typical response, isn't it, of this world, when there is an awakened soul, when grace has begun to work in the hearts of people. There is, "Don't be so fanatical. Don't take that so seriously." Again and again and again I was told, "Don't take it so seriously. We can have our religion and we don't have to be so fanatical about it. We don't have to be so passionate about it." But a cry from a chosen sinner brings a command and brings a word from our God. He says, command him to come to me. Don't invite him to come. You command him to come. He'll come. What will ye, what will thou that I shall do unto you? What do you wish for me to do? There is going to be in the salvation of all sinners, like Paul did on the Damascus Road, what will you have me to do? You are absolutely sovereign here. You have come into my life as an absolute sovereign reigning monarch. And I am in your hands. And you can do to me as you wish, my God. And whatever you wish is right, because it's you who wish it and you who do it. That's our sovereign God. See, grace brings a cry, an unstoppable cry. Grace brings a word, a command from God. And he says, Lord, that I might receive my sight. That I might receive my sight. So the Lord, in salvation and in sanctification, puts his people in the way where he passes by. He puts his people where he will be. He brings a cry into their heart. He brings this chosen sinner, this blind man. It's a lovely picture, isn't it? He brings this blind man right up into his presence. It says in the other accounts that he touched them. That's how close he is. And he calls him. So the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. For 3.5 years he'd had no visit. For 3.5 years he sat in that way. And now the time of love has come. And he cast away his garment. The beggars in India used to have their garments lying out in front of them. That's where the beggars and where our buskers put their money. It was his only means of sustenance and support, and he just threw it away. And he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, come unto me. Come unto me. Our warrant for coming is his command to come. Don't stay away. Come. Come like Bartimaeus. Poor, blind, helpless, wretched. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. So we come to God to receive. Bartimaeus had absolutely nothing to offer the Son of God. We come to an almighty giver. We come to an almighty caller. We come with a cry in our heart, a cry for mercy, a cry for grace. We come like Bartimaeus, and if we've come like Bartimaeus, we'll keep coming like Bartimaeus. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. And what was the first thing he saw? The first thing he saw was the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what happens in salvation, isn't it? The one thing that matters is that you know him, that we see him. We look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We come looking. We remain looking. We spend eternity looking. You come and you cast away all of your righteousnesses, all of your filthy rags. We come and we wait. We wait. And what happens? What happens when our Lord meets his chosen sinners? And immediately, verse 43, he received his sight and he followed him, glorifying God. If you receive your sight, if you are taken out of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of light and in the kingdom of his dear Son, the first thing you see is his face. You don't physically see his face, but you see his presence through the word, don't you? You realise that he's alive and he's present and he's real and he's holy and he's merciful and he's gracious and he's almighty. We see him to be in reality as he's described in his word. And we never want to move beyond what he is described as in his word. The first sight of Bartimaeus was the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in the other accounts, he followed him. He followed him on the way. Where was the Lord Jesus Christ going to? He was on his way to Jerusalem. He was marching up that hill. He set his face like a flint. For the likes of Bartimaeus and the likes of sinners like us. See, the way we go is dependent upon the one we see. And we see by a divine creative act. We see what we could never see before. And that's why, if the Lord will allow us, we need to have some kindness and patience with people who are blind. They can't see. They can't see. The only time they will see is when God, in mercy and grace, creates a life and creates light and creates eyes. The Lord gives sight as his word is heard. He gives sight in his presence. And that's why we preach the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. And we keep saying to people, come and see. Come and see. Behold the Lamb of God. Come and see. And Bartimaeus gives us another great lesson, don't we? To be in the place. To see him as he is. To be healed of your blindness. To see who he is and who you are. It's always wise to be in the place where he promises to be. He was on the one road in Jericho where he knew if the Messiah ever came by, he was going to be there. And if Messiah came by, he was never going to hear the end of it from me. Lord, I want to see. I want to receive my sight. We see him in the preaching of the gospel. We see him in his shed blood on Calvary's tree. I love what Paul says. There's a great description of sanctification, the work of God in the lives of his people. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and if you read the rest of chapter 3, you'll see that Paul is actually saying, and the Holy Spirit is saying, with extraordinary emphasis and clarity, that you cannot go back to the law of Moses and except be blinded. But he says at the end of that chapter, he says, but we all, verse 18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We all with open face, beholding as in a glass, as in a mirror. We don't see him as clearly as we would behold him. And you are changed. You are changed as you look at him, as you be with him and spend time with him and spend time in his word. He changes his people. He causes us to see him. And when you see him and you receive grace, all you need and all you want is more. So Bartimaeus couldn't be parted from the Lord Jesus. He followed him on the way. He began his life, Bartimaeus, as a helpless, blind, hopeless, wretched beggar.
other than the fact that he received his sight, Bartimaeus remained a beggar. He went on that way, and he went on that way with the Lord Jesus Christ. When light shines, it will lead the way to the cross. It will lead us to the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. And there's one remarkable statement, isn't it, that the Lord Jesus Christ says of Bartimaeus. He says, "Thy faith," verse 42, "thy faith hath saved thee." See, faith is not just the gift of God. True saving faith is the possession of his people. And if you'd asked Bartimaeus for the rest of his life, how was he healed? And how was he saved? If you told Bartimaeus it was your faith and your activity, Bartimaeus, he'd say, absolute rubbish. And yet the Lord says, thy faith, not just has cured your blindness, Bartimaeus, and removed you from darkness and removed you from the danger that was around you all the time and taken you out of that cursed city. It saved you. Meeting the Lord Jesus Christ and having him shine his light, the light of who he is upon his people, is salvation. This is eternal life, that you know him. You know him. You know him as the one sent from the Father. You know him as the one sent by the Father to Calvary's tree to shed his life's blood. You know him as the one who's gloriously resurrected as proof that our sins are gone and as proof that our great God reigneth. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would take these words of yours, our Father, and apply them to our hearts and grant us, like Bartimaeus, that we might be called to come to you, and come to you we might receive a sight of you, our Father. We do pray, Heavenly Father, that the way, like Bartimaeus' way, is going to be a way that will lead us to at times feel as if our Lord has suffered and is absent from us. But like Bartimaeus, we'll be relieved to know that on Calvary's cross, our Lord Jesus Christ shed his life's blood, his precious blood. And we're washed whiter than snow in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, our Father, call on us to come and give us the grace to cry as needy, helpless, begging sinners for you to have mercy upon us. Open our eyes to see your Son, to see him crucified, to see him buried, to see him risen and reigning, and for us to see that blood as precious, our Father. That we might find ourselves, like these people, glorying in who you are. Bless your words to our hearts, Heavenly Father, for Jesus' sake. For in his name we pray. Amen.